Then we'll get started. We're waiting for all the streamers to kick in here. I mean, I tell you what, I don't know. So I'm always, you know, since I'm not at home broadcasting, and I won't be for a while. We'll see how this goes. Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
Yes, that was Safety Warrior with First Wave about the Wuhan lab leak, which we still haven't gotten answers on, right? We did a story a couple weeks back where there was evidence that in 2019, October, that there was a problem because there was a military thing over there. But, you know, we make up songs here and everything else about what's going on there in the news. Welcome to Safety Wars for Wednesday, April 30th. 2025, the last day of the month here. How's everybody doing out there? We're broadcasting again from EPA and FEMA region and OSHA region 3 from an undisclosed hotel room. Yeah, well, Jim, maybe you should get a green screen back there. Don't need a green screen. The acoustics are okay here. They're almost as good as at our regular place. But like I was saying, you know, I don't know when we'll get back there anytime soon, probably for a couple of weekend programs and pre-recorded things. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, everybody's skittish out there on the economy, you know, so you got to get the contracts to get the work where you need to, where you can get them. So anyway, I wanted to start out by wishing my wife a very happy anniversary, 14th year by my calculation. I hope I'm right on that. So this is basically what it is. Both of us, so a little bit of our love story here. Both of us were getting to the point where, well, hey, are we going to get married or not? So we had met on an online situation. Right. And what ended up happening was, I was running for office at the time. And, you know, and everything. No, if you ever ran for office out there, you know how it is. I'm looking for an appropriate song here. I did not set this up. But anyway, the What we ended up doing was we met in September 2009. I was running for office, and she was very busy, as she always is, in her important work. And we ended up getting engaged in April 2010. And we ended up getting married in April 30th, 2011. And then in 2012, April again, our first child was born, my son James. And then 2 years later, Jessica came. So it was very, very quick and very shocking. Some would argue that we never, that our parents never got over it. I know mine didn't. So, you know, it is what it is out there. And we've been very happily married there ever since. And it's been one hell of a ride. That's all I have to say. And we're going to go to our first commercial break here. And while I line up some, oh, here's an appropriate song. Hang on.
Hard hat on my head, set the alarm. High voltage love in your arms. Steel toe boots, steal my heart. Now love's a machine, start to start. Danger signs, but we don't mind. We're safety certified. Spark of desire, emergency exits, this love's on fire. Hard hat and real, yeah, we comply. Our love's as strong as reinforced supply. Our love's like gears, it turns so true. Turbines of passion spinning with you. Mechanical love, it's built to last. Safety first, romance moving fast. Romance, it's OSHA approved. Love that's steady, never misused. Red tape barriers can't keep us apart. Love evolves safety from the start. Danger signs, but we don't mind. We're safety certified, hearts aligned. Locked out, tagged, our hearts entwined. You and me, we're one of a kind. Site romance, it's OSHA approved. Love that's steady, never misused. Red tape barriers can't keep us apart. Love evolves safety from the start. Work site romance, it's OSHA approved. Love that's steady, never misused. Red tape barriers can't keep us apart. Love evolves safety from the start.
Yes, and that was Safety Warrior with Love in the Safety Zone. Going out to my love, Debbie. So, a lot going on out there. It was Trump's 100 days. We're going to be talking about some of that, right, with some of our EPA news and everything else. But we're going to concentrate on government news today, including OSHA news and some of the other agencies out there. Stuff going on. I mean, we're still, you talk to some EPA employees and EPA and OSHA and other government employees there, and you know, it's like everybody's on pins and needles out there with the way things are going. Very reserved with that. You know, it's not very comfortable to watch or to hear about or to experience. I know, to always be on edge. But now there's a lot of uncertainty, and uncertainty breeds bad things every time, right? So this is from the U.S. General Services Administration, a press release today. Recently, the GSA and the White House Office of Management and Budget announced a first-of-its-kind initiative to allow the public to submit ideas for ending existing rules and regulations through an online form on regulations.gov. The Trump administration has ending harmful and business-stifling regulations a priority. Publishing this form affords the American public, who are most affected by unnecessary, unlawful, or unduly burdensome regulations, the opportunity to have their voices heard in the deregulation process. I actually have a couple of ideas for this. I'm going to submit them, see where they go. The administration will review and analyze submissions to understand opportunities. Most Americans have become used to a government that is weaponized against them. And this is a quote from acting administrator of the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs, Jeff Clark. Quote, most Americans have become used to a government that is weaponized against them, with regulations being a favored tool to do so. Today, we're changing that by empowering the people to use their constitutional petition clause power to fight back, and President Trump administration is here to listen and fix it. America thrives when people can challenge burdensome rules that threaten their freedom and livelihood, said GSA Acting Administrator Stephen Ehikian. Overregulation stifles innovation and hurts small businesses. President Trump's GSA is there to help change that. When providing a submission focused on explaining the rule's original purpose and context, reasons why the rule should be rescinded or canceled, such as conflicts with the law or constitution, costs outweigh benefits, the rule is no longer relevant, or the rule unexpectedly creates problems for businesses. The key is to provide clear, constructive feedback on why the existing rule or regulation should be rescinded. Well, I think that in the safety industry, there are a lot of regulations out there. Just check it out on LinkedIn, where things can be done better. Remember, rescinded, but also be done better. I would say that. I can name them a couple of things, or I'll withhold them at this time. I'm going to submit them myself. This is from April 16th. It's got passed us here. So I'm going to, let me save this. Hold on. All right, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send it over to myself, and hey, we'll take them up on here. Let's see where it goes. California, and this is from our friends over at, allergies are killing me out here. California Net Zero Leaders is from Energy and the Environment from Ronald Stein, who's a professional engineer from the Heartland Institute. California friends of the program, by the way. California Net Zero Leaders want to shutter its only net zero emissions plant electricity generating plant. Over the years, the so-called forward-thinking policymakers in California have achieved questionable results. California's high cost of electricity is already more than 80% higher than the national average for residential and commercial, more than 140% for commercial, and is projected to go even higher. California imports more electricity than any other state. California has the second highest rate of unemployment, lagging in job growth, everything else. So what do they want to do? They want to, blah, blah. California prides itself on being a good environmental steward. However, since 2014, Warren Buffett's Pacific Corp has sold almost $1 billion of electricity at wholesale to California, mostly from pollution-laden coal-fired energy plants, generation sites outside California. Right? And all different things. What's going on? What's the whole point? California, for power source diversity and efforts to reduce imported electricity from out-of-state coal-fired power plants, California should keep the Diablo Canyon power plant running to provide affordable, safe, reliable, and continuous. So basically, despite intense recent lobbying from Warren Buffett's Pacific Corp, the Diablo Canyon power plant, right, so is being shut down so they can get more power from coal-fired plants. That's the whole thing here. So, basically, there's some lobbying and other stuff going on with Warren Buffett own stuff to shut down a zero emissions plant. So this is all called exporting your pollution, right? It's just one of those things. Exporting your pollution, we're famous for it here in the United States with the cheap goods. Let's not do that now. Three workers are dead. This is from April 30th today. Three workers from Port Arthur Industrial Site. Three workers dead, two injured when scaffolding collapses at Port Arthur Industrial Site. This happened today in Jefferson County, Texas. An investigation into an industrial accident is underway after three workers were killed and injured in Port Arthur early on Tuesday. And I won't, it's a company that you've heard of. Okay, so how much you want to make a bet they're going to revisit the story from about 3 weeks ago where OSHA is closing offices in Louisiana? OSHA could not have prevented that. The people who prevented that were the competent person and the company with that situation. It's just the way it is. OSHA is there to clean up afterwards and to give you instructions to try to prevent injuries. But OSHA could not have prevented this injury here when you have people just ignoring it. You know, just the way it is, folks, with this. You know, everyone, oh, well, OSHA this and OSHA that, OSHA this, OSHA that. Well, you know, okay, all's well and good, but, you know, just a little bit frustrating here, right? This is from the AFL-CIO. So as you know, this was from last week where we have, they release every year around Worker Memorial Day, the death on the job, the toll of neglect, right? So this list in 2023, I remember, why is there lagging on this stuff? Well, because they're using different, like lagging indicators. A lot of times the stuff is not ruled a workplace death until ex post facto, way after the fact, litigation and everything else. So things are always lagging on workplace statistics for that when you get these reports. They released the, I'll just read the executive summary here. This 2025 edition of Death on the Job, the Toll of Neglect, marks the 34th year the AFL-CIO has produced the only comprehensive report on the state of safety and health protections for American workers. This report focuses on the most recent data available from several different sources from 2023 and enforcement data from fiscal year 2024, which ended on September 30th of last year. Goes into a little bit of history here, right? President Trump's first 100 days of his second administration have not only attacked the Biden administration progress, but confirmed his anti-worker, pro-business philosophy. Since taking office at the end of January 25, he has issued dozens of executive orders to roll back or review existing regulations, including an order that requires that for any new regulatory protection issued, an agency must remove 10 safeguards from the books. He has empowered Elon Musk and his so-called Department of Government Efficiency to launch a full-scale attack on workers by eliminating entire government agencies, removing the independence of other agencies, and firing tens of thousands of federal workers under the guise of eliminating waste, fraud, and abuse. Although no significant waste, fraud, or abuse has been identified in federal agencies, Trump and Musk have, and that's a matter of opinion, guys, right? Trump and Musk have used DOGE to launch attacks on workers' rights, workers' protections, except, right, going on. So let's see what the specifics are. And now, he goes on a rant with, they go on, I don't know, it could be she, it could be he, whoever. usually there's a primary author to this stuff. Now, mentions all this stuff about Trump, but then they go on to the high toll of job injuries, illnesses, and deaths in 2023. Really? Okay. So, check out the report. 385 workers died each day from hazardous working conditions. But let's, the overall job fatality rate decreased 3.5%. 5,283 workers were killed on the job. But let's remember that that according to OSHA's own numbers, it's 50,000. And prior, I believe they were AFL-CIO publications, quotes 50,000 things. Now, this is 50,000 deaths a year attributable to workplace situations, just that they're long-term situations, cancer, and other occupational diseases that take a long time to get recorded. And a lot of stuff. Now, if you are an OSHA trainer, probably this would be a great resource to have in your intro to OSHA situation there, if you're going to do that. But anyway, I'm going to send that to myself again. We'll include this page on some stuff. And of course, always double check it, check this. And they have actions needed from job safety agencies, actions needed to restore and improve injury and illness data here. And going on, just something, different reports and everything else. No, some of it I agree with, some of it I don't. All right, with this. Worker killed, and this is out of Pennsylvania. Worker killed after tractor trailer hits a construction vehicle on Route 581 in Cumberland County. A construction worker was killed in a four-vehicle crash on Route 581 in Cumberland County on Monday morning. According to Pennsylvania State Police, it happened in the eastbound lanes in Camp Hillborough around 4:30 a.m. According to the police, a construction vehicle was in the closed right lane picking up cones in the work zone, and a double tractor trailer was traveling in the left lane when it entered the closed right lane and struck the back of the construction vehicle.
Now you're going to say, well, what's going on here? Basically, OSHA will investigate this on top of the local police department here because it is a workplace fatality with that. They normally don't investigate, it's against their policy to investigate auto accidents, which there's just as many people killed in auto accidents on the job than like falls. And next week is fall protection week. But essentially, in this kind of situation where a worker was killed by a truck or run over, OSHA will normally investigate that. This is from Auburn, Virginia, and the story is April 24th. A construction worker is dead after trench collapse at a data center project in Virginia. Officials say the incident happened at a facility in Ashburn, Virginia. The employee was working for a contractor there. We send our deepest condolences to the family and loved ones of this individual. The safety, security, and well-being of all involved in our projects is paramount. We are continuing to support the company and OSHA and local authorities with their ongoing investigations. Let's see what else. I tell you what, it's worth it, right? Let's see if we can do this, right? It's worth it to, we're going to real quickly go over the trenching and excavation regulations here. Why not? We're here. I actually just reread them because I'm going to be writing a plan very shortly for these. So let's do a share screen. Okay, where is it? Right there. All right. So here I have open the OSHA.gov, the regulations 29-1926 subpart P, right? That's in the 650. Subpart P is excavations. And some of the things in here, right? Here, what looks here, right? What's the applicable? So how do you read this, right? Now, because I don't handle excavations every day, right? It's always a good practice if you don't deal with something every day in these regulations to go and basically review them. I mean, you know, they're out there. This support applies to all open excavations made in the Earth's surface. Excavations are defined to include trenches, and it always starts out every regulation what the scope is here and what the definitions are here. And we're, it's a pretty extensive definition list. And specific excavation requirements, right? Basically, you have to ascertain where lines are, 811 on your phone. Utility companies' owners shall be contacted with established or customary local response times, advise in the proposed work, and ask to establish location. When a utility company's owner cannot respond to a request to locate underground utility installations within 24 hours or cannot establish an exact location of the installation, the employer may proceed, provided the employer does so with caution, provided detection equipment or other acceptable means to locate utility installations are used. This is where a lot of companies screw up, is specifically right here. They don't make a call for 811. And I'm going to tell you this. Even if you're in your backyard or front yard, for that matter, your property, and you want to dig a hole, always call for a utility markout. Now, you'd be surprised what goes through, especially in Central Jersey where I grew up, what goes through people's backyards. It's incredible. Or maybe you wouldn't be surprised. Who knows? All right. So if the locator company does not respond, that does not mean it's open game on, oh, now we can go hog wild. No. If somebody gets hurt, it's your ass, not somebody else's here. Don't worry, it's non-alcoholic beer. I love it. Trying to get them out of this as a sponsor. When excavation operations approach the estimated location of underground installations, the exact location of these installations shall be determined by safe and acceptable means. Right, you have to have egress within 25 feet of all people in the thing. A stairway, ladder, ramp, or other safe means shall be located in trench excavations that are 4 feet or more in depth, so as to require no more than 25 feet of lateral travel for employees. You got to block it from vehicular traffic. Block it from loads falling in there. Test for hazardous atmospheres. Bottom line, everything's got to be assessed by a competent person. Have rescue services. Stability of adjacent structures so you don't undermine things. And no, if you're in an urban area, you're doing a USC removal, that becomes an issue. And where the competent person finds evidence of a situation that could result in a possible cave-in, indications of failure of protective systems, hazardous atmospheres, or other hazardous conditions, exposed employees shall be removed from the hazardous area until the necessary precautions have been taken to ensure their safety. So what happened? On a couple of jobs I was on, The competent person would not do that. So that's real simple. Nobody's going into the thing until you go in it. Well, I'm not going in that excavation, Jim. Well, then if it's not safe for you, it ain't safe for anybody else then. Make sure you document this too. Big thing also is soil classification. So soil is, let's see if we got a nice diagram here. So is it classified as A, B, or C, or solid rock? Now, I'm going to tell you, if you're taking a standardized exam, you better know this, what these are. And, here, let's see, do we have a photo? So, type A soil has a compressive strength of 1.5 to and up of tons per square foot. 1.5 or up tons per square foot. Usually clay or something like that. And if it's type A soil, you can have a slope of 3/4, right? Rise over run. For every 1 foot up, you're allowed to go 3/4. Rise, right? So rise for every 1 foot, you're allowed to go 3/4 horizontally. So 1 foot up vertically, 3/4 of a foot horizontally. Right? And there are exceptions on that. With that, like it says, simple slope, short term. All bench excavation 20 foot or less in depth shall have a maximum allowable slope of 3/4 to 1 and a maximum bench dimensions as follows. I would not, right? Everything is temporary in construction, and that's what you're going to hear. So I wouldn't worry about the thing. Just do it the way it's supposed to be done. Excavations in type B soil with compressive strength of 0.5 tons per square foot to 1.5 tons per square foot. You're allowed to go on a 45-degree angle. So that's 1-to-1. For every rise of 1 foot, you're allowed to go horizontally 1 foot. All right, and then you go into a right and type C soil, and that's real simple. For every 1 foot out, you have to go 1 foot up vertically. You go 1.5 feet horizontally, and that is a slope. Now, you could, and there's all different types of things. You could do a bench type of thing where it goes up like a bench, like a stairs, and have it at the right angle with that. Now, I'm going to, and then, you know, you have, it's very complicated. You got to take the whole class. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Hear me now, believe me later. If you are a competent person, OSHA shows up to do an audit, right? They're going, the conversation sort of like goes like this. Oh, you're the confident person. I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Can you please explain to me what the differences are between a type A, type B, and type C soil, and what is the angle of that you're allowed to bench them or slope them, or what are you going to do to protect your employees? First, you're going to start out with the first one. What's the difference between type A, type B, type C soil? And you had better respond, type A soil is greater than 1.5 tons per square foot, right? Compressive strength, and you're able to determine that with a pocket potentiometer. And then type B soil is this, type C soil is this, and that's just the way it is, and there had better be a checklist there. Because as far as they're concerned, in my experience, if there is no checklist, it didn't happen. Well, you know, it's just the way it is. All right, let's continue on with the news. Worker dies in construction site fall. And this was in Fall River. I don't know what kind of state that, which state this is. Hold on. It's in the Vineyard Gazette, Martha's Vineyard. Really? Wow. A 34-year-old man was working at a construction site, died Tuesday after, this story is by Ethan Genter from April 22nd, after falling at least 20 feet from the scaffolding. Officials said the victim was working at a home there and fell from the scaffolding between 20 and 30 foot onto a walkout basement egress below. The incident happened shortly before 3 p.m. Yeah, times are important with this. Our thoughts and condolences go out to the family and friends of the worker. No foul play. OSHA's investigating this. This is one we got to keep an eye on. All right. And this is from Canada, from Brampton, Ontario. A manufacturer of clay bricks and concrete blocks is facing a significant fine in retaliation to the death of a worker at its facility in 2023. According to an Ontario court bulletin, the incident took place in 2023 when a worker was helping to remove a cement buildup on equipment. The worker climbed onto a mud conveyor in the plant's mixer area while carrying a hammer and was unaware that a skip hoist device for lifting materials was in automatic mode and the hoist bucket itself was overhead. When the hoist automatically engaged, the hoist bucket lowered, resulting in a fatal injury. I'm not an expert on Canadian law, but the company failed to ensure adequate machine guarding that prevents access from pinch point in accordance to regulations. Following a guilty plea, the company was fined $225,000 Canadian. What's that? About 50 bucks? I'm only joking, Canadians. You should be happy. You know, you had an election the other day. And everybody's a joy. I'm sure everybody's real joyful over that election. Not. Okay. What else we have here? Don't tell me I ran out of stories. Here. How could I go through all those stories? Right, so one of the things that Limbaugh always used to comment on was when he had a guest host, said, bring all the stories, it's never enough, and that way you never run out. And it seems like, wow, I ran out. So let's see what else is going on there. So a BMW employee dies after being hit in a plant parking lot, a coroner says. And this is at a Spartanburg County in Carolina. The Spartanburg County Coroner's Office said a man passed away in the hospital over a week after he was hit by a truck in the BMW manufacturing plant. According to the coroner, the victim was taken to the hospital by EMS on April 14th after he was hit by a pickup truck in the parking lot, right? The coroner's office said they were called to the hospital on April 24th. We are deeply saddened about the passing of BMW associate. Regrettably, the death follows a vehicle-pedestrian collision in one of our parking lots. The worker was a dedicated and respected member of our team and his loss will be felt by all who had the privilege of working with him. So here's the question. Was it recordable or not? Different people say different things. Was it recordable? Did he sign in yet? What were some of the other things? Circumstances. So let's go to commercial break here, and then we will come back to you here. So
have you listened or watched the Safety War Show? It does stream live on the radio and on the streamer emers that we have. So if you have not taken a listen to Jim Bozell and what the hell he's doing every evening with Safety Wars, I would strongly encourage you to take a view or take a listen, whichever option is available for you, and take a listen to what the hell he has going on. It's definitely, it will take some deep dives and some information that you might be interested in.
Is your safety training old, stale, and hackneyed? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety? How about safety training that is designed to actually address and assess your hazards and liabilities and is not standardized baloney from generations ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at safetywars.com or call me, Jim Polzel, at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you are receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces.
Oh.
OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Poelzel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy!
So I had a whole bunch of other stuff open here, and I closed it out somehow. Right? Hey, this live radio. This is the way what happens. I wanted to go through some of the White House executive orders tonight since we're talking about government news. Now, a lot of this stuff goes through a filter, right, on the news. Well, this and this and that and that. And none of this shit's accurate. Right? It's always a spin. So let's, when we can, we go right to the source. Whether you like President Trump or not, we're going to give you everybody, right? So we had an article that ripped him apart, right? Which I find unbelievable because his Department of Labor secretary, Lori Chavez DeRemer, it's the Secretary of Labor, very highly regarded, very good reputation around the labor force. So I don't know how, right? And the other thing is this. Union workers like Donald Trump. So how could their union not like Donald Trump with this? It's like, what the hell? Okay. Here we go. I have the executive orders page out. This is from April 29th, yesterday. And this is addressing certain tariffs on imported articles. Section 1, the United States has imposed tariffs under various statutory authorities and through a number of executive orders and proclamations are meant to protect national security and address unusual extraordinary threats to national security, foreign policy, and the economy in the United States. Although each of these actions serves separate and distinct policy purposes, I have now determined that to the extent these tariffs apply to the same article, these tariffs should not all have a cumulative effect or stack on top of one another because the rate of duty resulting from such stacking exceeds what is necessary to achieve the intended policy goals. Why wasn't that on the news anywhere? Right here. All they got to do is walk on over to the website, right? To avoid, whether you agree with them or not, let's get Truth here. Somebody should come up with a social media name, Truth. I don't know. What do you think? To avoid the cumulative effect of overlapping tariffs on certain articles, this order sets out procedures for determining which multiple tariffs shall apply to an article, and it goes on and on and on. I won't read it, right? But that's the one. And here's another one. Strengthening and unleashing America's law enforcement to pursue criminals and protect innocent citizens. And here you go. It goes on again with the purpose and policy. Safe communities rely on the backbone and heroism of a tough and well-equipped police force. My administration is steadfastly committed to empowering state and local law enforcement to firmly police dangerous criminal behavior and protect innocent citizens. When local leaders demonize law enforcement, impose legal and political handcuffs, and make aggressively enforcing the law impossible, crime thrives and innocent citizens and small businesses all owners suffer. Right? So, the Attorney General shall take all appropriate action to create a mechanism to provide legal resources and indemnification to law enforcement officers who unjustly incur expenses and liabilities for actions taken during the performance of their official duties to enforce the law. This mechanism shall include the use of private sector pro bono assistance for such law enforcement officers. Now, this is one of the things, World Intellectual Property Day, right? So one of the first things in the Constitution was to guarantee intellectual property, right? And President goes on to start talking about declaring April 26, 2025, World Intellectual Property Day. Again, this is to go against countries like China and have intellectual property issues. This is another one from the 24th. Unleashing America's offshore critical minerals and resources. And what's going on? It's the policy of the United States to advance the United States leadership in seabed mineral development. So this was another executive order. Let's mosey on over to the EPA website. All right, we read off the press releases. Jim, you read press releases on the air? Yes. I read press releases here because somebody's got to do them. Now, there was a whole bunch of 100-day celebrations throughout the EPA community and here. So we're going to get, rather than go through every one of them, which will be one hell of a boring show here, they have 100 actions taken by the administration to protect the environment. Right, here's another one here, right? This is from EPA Region 1, the press office. Today, U.S. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin released a recap of 100 environmental actions taken by the agency during President Trump's first 100 days in office, including the record Phase 1 hazardous materials cleanup after the catastrophic Los Angeles wildfires, the announcement of major actions to combat PFAS contamination, redevelopment at 21 Superfund sites across 13 states, and the removal of all or a portion of 4 sites from the NPL, that's National Priorities List, completion of 25 state implementation plans, 16 of which were backlogged from the previous administration. So this was from a quote from EPA Administrator Zeldin. EPA wasted no time following President Trump's directive to pursue clean air, water, and land for all Americans. Since January 20th, EPA has taken significant actions to fulfill its statutory obligations of safeguarding human health and the environment to ensure cleaner, safer, and healthier air, land, and water for every American while we work to power the great American comeback. EPA Regional Administrator Mark Sanborn said, in just 100 days, we are delivering results that protect public health, clean up contaminated lands, and strengthen our partnerships across New England. These accomplishments help us achieve our core mission and priorities set by this administration, while also demonstrating to the American people our commitment to being good stewards of their tax dollars. So what do we have? Do they have a graphic here? Ooh, they have a video. Okay. Probably needed to set this up a little bit better. Let's see how this sounds.
The Trump administration's first 100 days have been historic. The American public made themselves heard last November. And we are delivering on this mandate. Promises made, promises kept. At EPA, we are doing our part to power the great American comeback. To mark this momentous day, we are proudly highlighting 100 environmental actions we have taken since January 20th to protect human health and the environment. Here are just a few of the many highlights. To protect our nation's waters, we updated water quality standards for 38 miles of the Delaware River Basin to protect critical fish species and keep the river clean. We approved a plan to further restore and protect Long Island Sound over the next decade. We also developed a method to detect 40 different PFAS in surface water, groundwater, and wastewater. Our team completed one of 3 in-water cleanups at the Lower Duwamish Waterway Superfund site and revised the 2025 Idaho Water Quality Performance Partnership with the Idaho Department of Environmental Quality. To ensure clean air for all Americans, we demanded answers from an unregulated geoengineering startup, Make Sunsets, that has been launching sulfur dioxide into the air to receive cooling credits. We approved 25 state implementation plans, 16 of which were backlogged from the prior administration. so that environmental requirements go into effect faster, and we addressed air quality at the border with air filters and monitoring. To provide clean land for Americans, we have fully cleared or cleared a portion of 4 Superfund sites to date. We reduced by 2 years the excavation timeline at Westlake Landfill, a Superfund site in St. Louis, Missouri. We also ramped up efforts to end decades of raw sewage flowing into our country from Tijuana, Mexico. We have approved WIFIA loans across the U.S. to provide safe, reliable drinking water to communities. Tested tribal drinking water for PFAS across various regions to assess and manage water quality, and announced an expeditious review of new science on fluoride. We completed our largest wildfire response in agency history in Los Angeles, California, clearing 13,000 properties of hazardous materials in just 28 days. We also completed our FEMA mission assignments in Western North Carolina after Hurricane Helene, and Kentucky following flooding. These are just a fraction of the many environmental actions we have taken in the first 100 days. Our team at EPA is honored and motivated to fight for you and deliver results. The golden age of America is upon us, and we will not slow down.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.